Today is the start of the government's 16 days of activism against violence against women and children campaign. And one of the things that we are discussing is a decision by the ANC in Mpumalanga to reinstate a former MEC into its provincial executive committee. He faces allegations of raping his two daughters. On Tuesday, the Nelspruit Magistrates Court relaxed the bail conditions of the man, he can't be named, to protect the alleged victims. He was arrested along with his stepson in September. He's out on 20,000 rand bail. He received a hero's welcome. Hero's welcome. There's a difference between saying innocent until proven guilty and a hero's welcome. But remember how Tony Yangeni was issued into Polsmoor? He received a hero's welcome from members of the community and the ANC when he was released on bail. The ANC in the province says, well, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And if the National Executive Committee at the national level of the ANC is unable to sort out this issue of people having to step aside when they face serious allegations, well, what can we do? You know, it would be unfair and unkind to stop the man from performing ANC duties. Lisa Vetten is a gender activist and researcher in the Faculty of Humanities at the University of Johannesburg. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hello, John.
There are times when the need for outrage is such that you just can't find it somehow. You know, it's so beyond the pale. How do you find the words to properly talk about it?
Exactly, and I think that's when cynicism starts to set in around the sincerity of the ANC, who are also the government, to be able to do anything effectively about gender-based violence. You know, one is left with the impression that it's something that they pay attention to because they are aware that it may have some influence in the electorate, but do something meaningful? No, not really, because I think these sorts of circumstances are the test of exactly how strong the commitment of society or political society is to addressing their problem in the problems in their ranks. And quite clearly, as far as they're concerned, there's two standards of justice, one for them and one for the rest of us.
And I've been trying to think of any justification for this which would make me think twice about the horror I feel at this decision. And the best I could come up with, and it really is a very, very weak response, is that if people who are accused of serious crimes are forced to step aside, then you accuse those people that you don't want, that you're in an opposite faction to, and then you achieve your goal of not having them active and campaigning against you because you've made a serious accusation against them. But this is a case which the police took seriously enough to arrest and bring to court, and there's a bail application. This is not a frivolous charge.
Well, not only that, John, this particular individual has a previous charge against him of rape from 2012, which was also withdrawn. So, you know, you do wonder who exactly are you dealing with here. There is clearly something about this individual that is highly suggestive of him being extremely inappropriate. You know, it also raises questions, I think, more broadly about the stance of the ANC in Mpumalanga to crimes and other forms of abuse against women. You know, there's an individual by the name of George Mtimunye who cost the JS Morocco municipality in Northwest R1 million for his sexual harassment. He subsequently was hounded out of another municipality because of his corruption there, and he was then appointed to a very senior position in the Mpumalanga legislature. Now, I think as we are all very familiar, anybody who gets a senior position in any government structure is clearly a matter of cadre deployment and ANC deployment. While he was in the senior position in Mpumalanga legislature, he was yet again accused of sexual harassment. The charges disappeared. Once again, he's now a very senior municipal manager, yet again in Mpumalanga. So, you know, it kind of gives you a sense that there's a broader rot going on in the party, that is, of which this particular former MEC is an individual, but it may well run deeper than that.
There is the South African constitution, there is the ANC constitution, and I simply cannot believe that between those two, or across those two, or in one or both of them, there can't be found an easy mechanism to make absolutely certain that somebody like this is not officially representing the ANC in any way, and then you would hope that the ANC would, in addition, make sure that that person is not pulling strings behind the scenes, despite having no longer any official capacity.
Exactly. And I think it goes to the heart of the fact that people who are in these kinds of positions are supposedly public servants. They're there to serve. When you see justice being subverted in this way, justice is no longer being served. Justice is serving them. It's being manipulated. And you would think that in a party that would try to inculcate some kind of moral leadership, and we're talking about the need for moral leadership, somebody who is accused of this would actually even have the moral fiber, to use that language, to say, I'm going to step aside because I am not a fit person. But quite clearly, in that kind of sense has disappeared. And I think it speaks to, you know, the ANC has its integrity committee. That appears to be toothless as well. But, you know, all its numerous attempts to clear up its image continue to founder, which suggests it's not able to do what it needs to do. And if it's doing this within the past, you then wonder what else is being manipulated if somebody who is connected is also arrested for charges of domestic violence or sexual harassment. Clearly, other things are going to happen rather than face justice as the rest of us do.
Sasekane Manzini is the person who's been talking on behalf of the ANC in Mpumalanga. The issue of stepping aside, it's still something that is being discussed at a national level. Hence, as the PEC, we decided that we must also allow him to participate in the ANC up until the matter is finalized on how we are going to move forward as an organization. The decision by the PEC does not mean it does not side with the victims. That's exactly what it means. It means that powerful people in the party are significantly important than powerless victims, even when those alleged victims are the children of the powerful person.
Exactly. This is just a form of double speak. And I think it's, again, you know, sends people this kind of mixed message that says, you know what, we're speaking out of two sides of our mouth. On the one hand, you say it's reprehensible, but on the other hand, we can also blink. Give you and turn and look the other way. So if we're talking about trying to seriously tackle gender-based violence, then you have to be consistent in every single case. We cannot allow other things to trump it. So, you know, what the Mpumalanga PVC is saying doesn't really hold water. They are able to make their own decisions. They should be making their own decisions, and they should be saying, if we are truly committed to these questions of gender-based violence and claiming to be in the vanguard, as we like to do, then this is a case where we should be very serious. You know, and the point is, this is not the first case. We had somebody who was a local councillor in North West who stood while he was out on bail for a number of serial rapes. He was elected to the position and held it for 2 to 3 years while the case was finalized. This is a man who was ultimately convicted of 5 cases of rape and possession of a firearm. And the ANC, again, thought she was a suitable person. So clearly, you know, before they stand up and make speeches about the rest, about men needing to look at themselves, they need to look internally. Otherwise, you know, what they say is simply hollow.
Lisa, thank you very, very much indeed. Lisa Vetten, a gender activist and researcher, Faculty of Humanities at the University of Johannesburg.